welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for September the 7th, 2024. And we're working with John here. He poses many an email to me. And, you know, the reason I find him so fascinating is because he's kind of the part of my students that they don't want to admit they're at, or they don't want to ask these kind of questions because they know that they, after being with me for a period of time, you would think you'd have more understanding, let's say, about it all. There's a certain intelligence you have to work upon yourself to enter into the practice of the way. And if you don't have that basic inclination for spiritual awakening, you will not have the intelligence to understand what you're getting involved in. So, John's next question: what do I have to do to be awakened? I'm giggling, John, because there's so many things. But I'm going to get into the first one, because tomorrow we have another question from you that I think is pertinent. What do you have to do? It's have to do? If the practice has become a have to do to you, then there would be no way in any way that you could benefit by working upon yourself and entering into meditation and more conscious living. You just couldn't do it. It's not a have to do. This isn't a burden. It's a blessing. And most of my students look at it as a burden that they hope will turn into a blessing. And that's what I think is going on with you too. Americans are always looking for the payoff, something that is going to get them something they want or think they need. So they get involved in all sorts of things, but they don't really get involved in the essence of it all. So, John, you have to examine, first of all, before you get in to this work or even attempt to or even consider it, what is your motive? What is your intent? Why are you doing this? If it is to avoid displeasure or to gain some kind of accolades or pleasure, or to think that, I don't know, in some way you're changing your life, this won't happen. That's what my students do. They don't know why they're in it. They're desperate. They're at the end of their rope, and they don't know what's really going on in their life or how they even got here. You know, it's the old joke, the guy that having an affair with his best friend's wife, and his best friend walked in, and he jumped into the refrigerator, and the next thing he knew, the refrigerator was being thrown out the window by his best friend. He knew he was in there, and two stories down, he's laying there in this refrigerator, and the cop opens it up and said, "What happened? How'd you get here?" He said, "I don't know. I just got here." And that's what we are. We have circumstances and conditions and all sorts of ugly things that we've done in our life, things that we really need to make restitution for, but we don't do it. So we think we're just here. How'd I get here? How'd I get in this situation? How did I get into this predicament? We just don't care. We honestly don't care until we find out that there are consequences for the way we are. John, I don't know if you've discovered your consequences. I don't know if you understand why you're asking me to help you with working upon yourself. I mean, how would I know? I don't know you very well. I don't know you at all, really. But the thing is, you keep asking me these interesting questions, and I have students that do the same thing. Well, I don't get it. We had a retreat, John, recently, and one of my students, we were working on the causation of our life, and one of my students who was very brave, and he could see where we were headed in this gestalt that I was doing for them. And I said, so what is the alibi? What is the alibi for your life? And why are you doing the things you're doing? And he said it so beautifully. He said, here's what we think. Well, this is just the way I am. And if you are just thinking about the way I am, and I made a commentary on this. I wrote one. It'll be out in the fall sometime. But it's an interesting thing. You may not be happy with the way you are. But if you're not happy with it, how are you going to change it? You have to have intent. There are certain things, John, we can change about ourselves. Our attitude, our point of view, maybe our effort to do something different, our momentum, things like that. We can change those things. But if you read Robert Sapolsky's work on Determined, you will find out we have no free will. And we gave that up when we gave ourselves over to our bodies and made them the absolute answer, function, and source of our life. So with all that being said, you're not going to change the way you maybe operate within yourself, but you can change how you deal with yourself, how you live with yourself. You can change that point of view by living more consciously, more meditatively, more silently, as it were. But most people aren't into that at all. And I doubt if you are either. What do I have to do to be awakened? It's not a have to do. You have to come to the end of your rope, and you've got to be willing to let go of the rope. Not to cling to it and say, well, that's just the way I am. This isn't going to change anything within you, just the way you are. You're going to have to go further and deeper. You're going to have to look at your motives, how you were raised, what you are attracted to, how you are attached to the collective unconscious. You're going to have to see how you love, and as Buddha said, what keeps you from the journey. You're going to have to look at so many aspects of the way you live from within yourself. And if you do that, if you start working upon yourself in that manner, you will find that there is a deep and profound goodness in us that we ignored, that we had no idea existed. This goodness that lives within is in the realm of consciousness. And it will change every aspect of your life, both, you know, the way you live within yourself and in your lifestyle. And if you have people who depend upon you to be a John, whatever that is, you're going to find that they're not going to be very happy when you start changing your modality and maybe even start meditating. They're going to think you're crazy or that this isn't going to help you. And when you start to work upon the points of generosity, which means that you have mercy and forgiveness for those who have, quote unquote, despitefully used you, yada, 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 all that kind of stuff. When you start working upon those aspects, you're going to start tweaking your DNA and your genetics, and you're going to start seeing you weren't raised very well, and you didn't come from a great background, genetically speaking, and that you have adopted all of this. And you're just, this is the way I am. This is the way I am. And that won't work. I can guarantee you that won't work. But you wanted to know, and so there you are. There it is. It's not an easy thing to be in an authentic spiritual practice. You have to be of a different ilk. You have to be someone who is seeking the way beyond the confines of their humanity, of their right and wrong, their moral fiber, the whole thing. You have to see beyond the beyond. And if you do, if you can do this beyond logic and reasoning, then and only then something can happen. But generally speaking, for most people, that doesn't happen, and they're not much interested in working upon themselves. Anyway, Another question for you tomorrow, John. Thank you for your emails. And thank you, my dear audience, for listening. I hope it helped you find the John in you. Please forgive me. Namaste.